بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. We are all Allah's and to Him we are returning. We are all Allah's. He is and we just manifest. And we are all returning to Him. But this returning isn't confined to this physical realm of existence and this physical life of 70, 80, 100 years. This returning to Him continues and persists eternally. And in succeeding metaphysical realms, we are returning to Allah. We are returning to absolute perfection. But the manner we return to Him depends on how we act in this physical realm of existence. It's in our hands. How much did we dedicate ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What did we do for Him? What did we do in the quest of attaining to divine attributes of perfection? Dear brothers and sisters, I want to first offer my utmost heartfelt condolences, but at the same time also send my utmost felicitations to you all. Why condolences and why the simultaneous felicitations? Qasim Soleimani, Commander General, one of the most holiest of Commander Generals that mankind has ever witnessed, together with another Commander General, Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, and soldiers accompanying them, were assassinated under the direct order of President Trump in the most cowardly of manners. Why do we offer condolences to one another? Why are we saddened? Because we have been separated from people who were manifesting divine attributes of perfection, who were manifesting Allah's attributes of Al-Qawi, Al-Qadir, Al-Dafi', Al-Rafi', Al-Muntaqim, Al-Adl, all these attributes of Allah. These people were manifesting to the maximum. These people were manifesting to a degree that we looked up to them. It was these people, the likes of Qasim Soleimani, Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, Rahmatullah alayhim, that eliminated ISIS. All their lives they fought against tyrannical regimes. And therefore we are saddened. That's not to say there are other Soleimanis and al-Muhandises. And definitely there are. However, their separation from us is a source of regret and disappointment. But also, we want to send felicitations to the world, to all people. Why felicitations? Because we believe in a metaphysical hereafter. Our worldview, the Tawhidi worldview, is not confined to 70, 80 years in this physical realm of existence. We believe we continue to be, and our souls are everlasting, and they continue their journey to Allah. The point is, though, that according to verses of the Holy Quran, those who have been slain in the way of Allah, yes, they are now in the hereafter. They are now in the metaphysical realm of existence, but they're free. They can exert influence even on this physical realm of existence. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. No, they're alive. Don't think that those who are slain in the way of Allah are dead. Rather, they're alive. And before their Lord, they are provided for. What is the Lord providing them with? What are they provided for? that which they were involved in and slain for in this world, the cause, they can continue exerting their influence and provide provisions even for those who are in this physical realm. And actually they are freer. They can exert more influence in relation to their cause. Mystics and the story of Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, and the tyrannical regime of the Pharaoh, they discuss this. They say the souls of the slain children of Bani Israel, the souls contributed to the cause of Musa. They enhanced the Mosaic cause, which ultimately led to the toppling of the pharaohic tyrannical system. The same applies with the shuhada, with the martyrs. They were slain for Allah's sake. They gave everything for Allah. They are free now. They've detached from the physical realm. But as metaphysical entities, detached from the physical dimension, they have much more influence. They can manifest Allah's attributes much more now. And then this is a source of felicitation. This is a source of happiness. Yes, we're disappointed because we've been separated from such individuals, but we're happy, we're rejoicing. These days are days of jubilation also, because they're helping the cause. Now, what is the cause? The cause is Islam. The cause is Islam. And they will enhance this cause and make it reach its victorious end, inshallah. The point is, though, what are we going to do? Do we have a conscience? Is this conscience calling within us? Especially those Muslims living in the West, what are they doing? They have to seriously introspect within their own selves. What's happening here? If tax money is contributing and enhancing direct orders of assassination of such people, what are you doing? How can you be comfortable under such a anti-Islamic guardianship? Yes, some people may spend a bit of time and money for Islam temporarily now and again, but they easily get drowned in the worldly life. They may forget things very easily. Just spending a bit of time once a week, once a month, spending a bit of money, will that do? Will that compensate for the spilling of such blood? Shouldn't one do more? Should we be comfortable? We have to do something. We can't just sit around contributing to economies whose governments are spilling the blood of such people and others. We will be contributing to that, and we're going to be judged on our actions. Why did you stay there? For generations, we were told by our seniors, many seniors, not all, but they said, compromise with them, with these governments. By compromising, we can advance our goals and objectives in Islam. Who are we fooling? What kind of Islam wants to grow under an anti-Islamic guardianship? The American form of Islam or the Mohammedan form of Islam? Without a doubt, they will never allow the latter to be realized. And this compromising year after year, generation after generation, what's the result? We're just belittling ourselves in the West more and more. And we're not compensating, and we feel more and more comfortable. And it's because we're drowned in this worldly life. We're after things that we shouldn't be. The cause is Islam. The leader of Islam today is the 12th Imam, our master, His Holiness, the Mahdi. May Allah expedite his advent. He's in control. He is ruling everything, but he's an occultation. You just have to look around the world a bit and see where are the remnants of the Mahdi. Where do you see it? Where do you see those attributes of Allah manifesting today? Do you see it in America? Or do you smell, do you sense the aroma of the Mahdi in places like Iran? In places like Iraq? And in that case, what are you doing? We can't compromise with tyrannical regimes. We can't hide our identities in the guise that for the betterment, it's for the betterment of our ummah. Even those temporary, not intergenerational, even those temporary treaties that the Prophet made with the enemy, it was all clear that you are the enemy, we are Islam. They were always addressed as the enemy. There was no hiding about it. But for reasons which were for the betterment of the Ummah, they had to make a treaty. But they were always recognized as the enemy. They were called the enemy. But they had to make this treaty for different reasons. But to hide this and, you know, be comfortable with paying taxes, placing our children under such educational systems, this is definitely not the Islam which our leader, the 12th Imam, wants from us. The sole source of Islamic cultivation is the spilling of blood. It's martyrdom. By people who are ready to give their lives for Allah's sake and for nothing else. This spilling of blood keeps Islam alive. Now, Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, has a piece in relation to this point. It was given during the imposed war, during the 80s, and I want to just read from this and end. It is possible that there will be people who, either knowingly or unknowingly, will raise this matter and question that whatever has happened to the outcome of all this blood spilled, all the martyrdoms and all the sacrifices, what is it all for? Why do we want all this? Isn't there no other way? What has this achieved? Imam says some people may question this, either knowingly or unknowingly. He continues, they are definitely unaware with respect to the unseen realms and with respect to the philosophy underlying martyrdom. And they are not informed with respect to the fact that whoever enters the domain of jihad only for the sake of Allah and places one's head on the tray of ikhlas and sincerity and servitude, the events that arise with time will not compromise the everlastingness and subsistence and the elevated, lofty station of such people. In order for us to completely perceive the values and path of our martyrs, we must travel a long way. A long route is awaiting us. And we must search for this over time, throughout the history of revolution, resistance and its future people. Indisputably, the blood of the martyrs has ensured the revolution and Islam. The blood of the martyrs has eternally taught resistance to the world. Allah knows that the trends and path of martyrdom are never to be veiled or blinded. It is the nations and future generations who will follow in the footsteps of the path of the martyrs. It is these very pure graves of the martyrs that will constitute the tryst of the lovers, the mystics, and the heart-burnt ones, and will constitute a place of remedy and cure for the freedom fighters until the day of resurrection. How fortunate are those who have left the world with martyrdom. How fortunate are those who have lost their body and soul, or who have annihilated their body and soul in this caravan of light.